Welcome to the Uplift Chronicles, where we journey through the powerful stories of those who inspire, uplift, and make a difference. I am your host, Kofi Dake. In each episode, we dive deep into the lives, accomplishments, and the diverse backgrounds of remarkable individuals, particularly those of Afro heritage, who are changing the world one story at a time. Whether you are seeking motivation, connection, or a celebration of culture, you are definitely in the right place. So sit back and relax, and let's explore how lives have been uplifted, both in Africa and across the globe. This is the Uplift Chronicles. Nana, welcome to our podcast. This is Uplift Chronicles again. I did read a lot of your biography that you sent to me, and I did a lot of research. I was very, very impressed about your career and then just your lifespan and the inspiration stories that you have. But out of curiosity, I just wanted to have an icebreaker. What's the fun thing about you that most people don't know?
Well, thank you for having me, Kofi. And I don't know, what is a fun thing? I would say I'm an introvert. Which, what is the fun thing about that is I like to, you know, stay with myself and my thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's when I can download, build myself up. And then that gives me energy when I'm interacting with people to, you know, be happy and bring joy and excitement. Okay. So I love fun, but I also like to be by myself.
That's
anything fun. Yeah.
Interestingly, we crossed paths in, I think, high school in 98. Mm-hmm. And what I remembered vividly about you, just very quiet, just with a smile all the time and just walking around on campus, going to the different activities and stuff like that. That was my recollection. So, yeah, I do remember that. Did you have the privilege to play any sports, or do you have any special talents in school or anywhere?
Well, no, I actually wished I played sports, but I didn't. It just, the environment that I grew up in, I don't think it was, sports was very looked up as something to pursue.
Right.
You were encouraged to read and be smart and come up, you know, number one, number two, number three in your class.
Yes.
And that's what was applauded. So
yes.
I never really pursued sports. And, you know, with my height, everybody would ask, do you play basketball in America? And I'm like, no.
You're not part of that volleyball team in Maui?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So I really never got into sports. But, you know, I try to keep up now working out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously, We've had an introduction on your career and your personal life, but at what point did you decide that you wanted to do a transition from, you know, nursing into wealth management?
You know, that's a really good question, because when I look up how I came up into nursing, I don't even necessarily think it was my choice. But it was one of those things where you know, you listen to your parents and you'd be good at this, and they pushed you in that direction. And I loved it. I love being a nurse. I love caring for people. Even when, you know, the unfortunate happens, you still have family to care for.
Right.
So I really did enjoy my nursing career, and also was able to work in management. So in that piece, I felt like I had a pretty full nursing career.
Right.
But like when COVID happened, the world changed.
Yes, definitely.
And I don't think we're ever going to go back to the old, old world.
Yes.
I mean, things are back to normal, right? But we definitely have moved, have transitioned. So I don't know, 100 years from now, when people look back in history and see what revolution this was, right? What part of, what happened in this part of, in time?
Yeah.
So with COVID, everybody was evaluating what they were doing. And what is the meaning of life?
Yes.
right? Mm-hmm. What is, does my life matter? Because you, I had.
At this point, during COVID, you were still a nurse.
Yes. And you see people, they're fine mm-hmm. one day. Mm-hmm. Next day, they have a fever.
Yes.
Next day, they're gone.
They're gone, yeah.
And you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. If this can happen to somebody who is relatively healthy, mm-hmm. Maybe they had some issues, underlying health issues, but they didn't know.
They didn't know, yeah.
So then at this point, you're like, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that my life matter?
And your family as well, right?
And my family's safety.
Safety, yeah.
Yeah, so that was how one of the reasons why I made the switch. Mm-hmm. And I said, let me pursue wealth management.
Okay.
Let me pursue that. It just made sense. And then some things also added up that made sense. And I thought, this is a good time to change.
Okay. So is that something that you just researched and found about it, or you were introduced?
I was introduced to it. I was looking for stuff. Okay. You know, when you're in that space where you're searching, you're asking yourself good questions.
Yes.
The universe has a way of reaching out.
I know that at that time, everybody was looking for remote work.
Yes.
You know, just to be at home.
Well,
I was in a situation like you where mm-hmm. I was considered an essential worker.
Right.
So I worked and I saw a lot of people get sick and, you know, with COVID and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah. Let's hear your story.
Yeah. So when a friend of mine reached out and called me and said, hey, I know, you know, you're business oriented and, you know, come take a look at what I'm doing. And I went. It was on a Zoom and I listened and it made sense. And I'm like, whoa, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why didn't nobody tell me this? You know, why didn't anybody tell me this? Because at the end of the day, we all work hard. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make a good living, mm-hmm. a decent wage.
Okay.
But if you don't understand mm-hmm. the money mm-hmm. or how to grow it, how to build it, how to protect it, then you're probably going to find yourself in a situation, which I have seen nurses that you work with, their knees are hurting, their backs are hurting. Mm-hmm. They can work, but they are forced to.
Right.
Because they still needed to make money.
Yeah.
At the stage where they should be in retirement. Yeah.
So do you think, like, some point in time in life, people, apart from just the passion of doing something, mm-hmm. you want to think about working smartly, right? Would you consider
absolutely.
That way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you need your passion, mm-hmm. but you need to fulfill a purpose too.
Right.
So, like I said, depending on how you were brought up or what your vision is for your own self mm-hmm. or somebody else's vision for you, which could be your parents, you can change course. You can have the courage to change course. You don't have to mm-hmm. Stick with the... I'm still very passionate about nursing.
Yes, which is a good career.
Yeah.
You know.
So, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think if you have the courage to say, you know what, mm-hmm. at this stage in my life, mm-hmm. I want to switch lanes.
So would... Well, if you are giving the opportunity to do it all over again, would you pick nursing or... Yeah, I mean, that's a personal preference.
Yeah.
Would you pick nursing or wealth management, and why?
Well, I think that's always such a hard question when you say, will you do it all over again, right? Because I feel like all those experiences mm-hmm. have built me to this stage.
Yes.
And, you know, I know back in school, I love math. Mm-hmm. I love anything math.
Nice. You did science.
I did.
Mathematics option or the biology option?
The biology option.
Option.
Because at the time, everybody was like, you can be a doctor. So just go to
Yeah.
If you grow up in Ghana, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer.
Right.
You know, those are the big top, you know, professions to do.
At some point in time, I think they ended up changing it where everybody did both the math
and
biology option.
Yeah.
And then in the final year,
you get to pick.
You get to pick, yes.
You know, so I don't think those were options for me. I just followed what I was told.
Even African parents.
Yes, you're going to be a good child. You're going to be a good kid.
Yes.
So you just listened. And I don't think so. For now, for that experience, it helps me parent different.
Okay.
You know, just because a kid is good at something doesn't mean they necessarily want to pursue that as a career.
Yes.
Right? Find out what their passion is. Mm-hmm. So.
That's interesting. Because at that point, you made a very good point about that, because I also had experience with my daughter, my firstborn. And I was like, hey, you can do, your dad did engineering, you could do engineering, you could do business, you could do, I see you as a lawyer. And then she came like, dad, I need to have a conversation with you.
Oh,
I want to do nursing.
Okay.
That was her passion. That's what she's pursuing. And, you know, by God's grace and her hard work, you know, she's even got scholarship and she's actually doing well in college right now.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing. That's a good point you make, listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another thing that we don't, when we're talking to each other, are we listening? Even with your kids, the things they don't say.
Yeah.
Are you paying attention to it? Are you listening to it?
Right.
Right. So even for as a career choice, that's great. You can be an engineer like your dad, but that's not her passion.
Right.
Right. Her passion is to be a nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
So by all means, go pursue and be the best nurse that you can be.
And then what we can do is just be very supportive.
Yes. And support that idea. Yes.
Okay. So going back to wealth management, I've listened to you speak. Mm-hmm. You're very articulate. And sometimes when I listened to it, I said, that's a great salesperson.
A great salesperson. But
you're very articulate in your presentation. So how do you define, for our audience, how do you define the wealth management, or what exactly do you do?
Okay, great question. So what I try to bring to the table is to show every person that I meet, how is your foundation when it comes to money? How is that built? Right? We work, we make money, we buy stocks, we invest, we buy real estate. But if you got hit with an illness, what happens to all of that? Do you keep digging into all those assets and they crumble? And then what do you have left?
Right.
So I try to, my point is to educate people and say, great, do all of that. But at the end of the day, make sure you have protection.
Okay.
You know, premature death. You know, I don't think most people's death are like.
So how does that protection look like?
So the protection comes in the form of life insurance.
Okay.
And life insurance with living benefits. And if you've never heard the term living benefits, it's part of, it's built into the policy where you are actually able to be the beneficiary of your policy.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. I had a young lady, mid-40s. She is a friend of mine. She's actually a colleague. And we set it up so she was planning for retirement.
Right.
And it was built into her insurance policy. I said, listen, take the same amount of money, but let's put it in this tool right here and give you some extra benefits.
Right.
Well, 4 months, just 4 months after she was set up with this plan, she gets diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my God.
So it's a whole year between surgery and chemo. She cannot work.
Right.
So you and me know people in that situation.
Yes. Absolutely.
What happens?
Yeah.
They're doing fundraisers. We're sending GoFundMes. Come on. She did not have to do any of that.
Yeah.
I said, listen, we put this policy in place. Let's file for a living benefits claim.
Yeah.
We got a check for $83,000. Tax-free money. And that money not only went to paying the everyday bills.
Right.
That's the kind of foundation I'm talking about. If something happens to you, what happens? Your mortgage doesn't stop. Your bills don't stop. Your children still need to go to the activities. And so have something that you set up that is protecting that foundation mm-hmm. of your ability to earn money.
Okay.
So if that's taken away, if your skills are no longer there, mm-hmm. you have income protection. You have something to replace that income.
Okay. So I guess you get involved mostly with financial, maybe illiteracy, education, people
yes.
with financial illiteracy to educate. So our community mm-hmm. as Afro oriented communities, there's usually some stigma on some of this stuff.
When you talk about
life insurance,
it's like you're going to die.
Right, exactly. So what challenges or what inspiration messages do you have?
So one, financial education is not taught in schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to 4-year college. I took a lot of science and nursing courses to be a nurse. But nobody ever said, mm-hmm. by the way, Nanaja, when you get your first check,
mm-hmm.
do A, B, C, or D.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. One, they take the taxes out, so that saves you that, right?
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you have to figure out, okay, do I put in my 401k or my 403b or whatever,
That's the other piece.
And this, so for our community, what I saw, you know, in my early years, mm-hmm. once people start making, quote unquote, a decent amount of money,
right,
they upgrade their lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
And I did that. You go get a nicer car.
I did that.
Right?
You get
a nicer car.
Yes.
And then you get a bigger house.
Yes.
Right? And then all of a sudden, your bills have increased.
Uh-huh.
And now you have to work an additional job
uh-huh.
to support the first job.
Yes.
And you're spending all your time working.
Right. Then there is no life-work balance.
There's no work-life balance.
Work-life balance.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, let me buy a land back home.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start building something.
Right.
Right. So when I go back, mm-hmm. I'll have a place to stay. I can, you know, rent it out, whatever.
Yeah.
So we do all these things because that's what somebody else told you, or mm-hmm. that's how you learned it
right.
from your friends and family.
Yeah.
But we don't think about what happens today
mm-hmm.
if I can no longer work.
Yeah.
Then that land you bought
mm-hmm.
and you build the house halfway through, mm-hmm. what happens to it?
Right.
Right? What happens to your mortgage? What happens to your household?
Mm-hmm.
And so people can really go into bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Medical reasons are the number one, you know, reason people file for bankruptcy.
Very, very expensive.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, for some reason, get sick and you haven't worked for 6 months.
Okay.
And as a nurse, I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
People who are quite sick
mm-hmm.
somehow have to keep working because they need that health benefit from the job.
Yes.
To pay for their care.
Yes.
In the meantime, they're sick.
Right.
They're going through chemo.
Yeah. So when you try to propagate this message in the African community or people of Afro-descendant, what were the major pushbacks that you've seen?
Well, one, when you say insurance, like you just said,
ooh,
you want me to die.
Mm-hmm.
No. But if you understand the power of insurance,
mm-hmm.
if you understand the tool that it is,
mm-hmm.
you will run to it.
Okay.
Right? Because it's the protection
mm-hmm.
that you want to put on you. We have car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an iPhone, you probably have insurance on it.
Yeah, I decline mine, though. Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
So how about you?
Mm-hmm.
How about your life? How about your skill set?
Right.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That should be priority.
Yeah.
Because without that, all those other things
mm-hmm.
do not exist.
Okay. So for the average person working, getting insurance
mm-hmm.
through their employers
yeah.
versus what you promote,
mm-hmm.
Sell or,
mm-hmm.
you know, introduce, what are the major differences and then what are the merits and demerits or advantages?
Excellent. When you get insurance through your job, one is through your job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you leave the job, you don't take it with you.
Yes. They might offer you...
Oh, they do offer you.
It's a higher premium.
It is very high.
Yes. And how do you afford it when You're someone you employed, and now you are unemployed, you want to pay a higher
premium. Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent question, yeah. Right? Yeah. So if you have it through your job, by all means, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, get yourself a personal policy or policies.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, you know, now people don't work 30 years and retire anymore. They're switching jobs. They're moving. The opportunities here and there.
Yes.
And also, the younger you are and the healthier you are, the less it's going to cost for you, right? So now when I meet people who are in their 60s who have retired, now all of a sudden your premium is so high, you probably can't afford it on your retirement income.
Right.
And this is the time that most people realize, oh,
yeah,
I need some insurance.
And mostly right now with even the retirement package, I don't, most companies don't even offer like a pension scheme. They offer the 401k. And I know you have a lot to say about the 401k.
I do.
Okay.
I do. Ted Benner, who is the father of 401k, is on Netflix, actually. There was a series on there where he talks about that now being the primary tool for retirement. Think about it. You're putting money in a tool that you can't touch, by the way, till you're 59 and a half, or you can with penalties.
With penalties, withdrawals with penalties.
Yes.
You could get a loan out of it with interest, which you pay back into it, right?
But
if you don't have that job anymore,
if you don't have that,
I think it's regarded income and taxable.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So there's so many layers to this 401k. Companies are getting smart now. They're not paying pensions because it's costing quite a bit.
Yes.
Think about it. If you work till you're 65 and you lived another 20 years, they have to pay you for 20 years?
Right.
That's a lot.
Yes, yes.
So, let's give you this tool right here. You put money in. You're totally responsible for how it grows and how it loses, by the way.
Yeah.
And if the stock market crash, oh, well, too bad.
Yeah, it's tailored to the stock market.
It is.
Yeah, okay. So at a point where you want to get money, you could be getting it at a very low rate, right?
You could. Right now the market looks like it's doing good, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, growth, people are growing and that's fine.
Right.
But if the housing bubble that happened, happens again, even before COVID, right? Before COVID, right? There's a lot of loss in there. So imagine you're thinking, okay, I have $1 million and I'm getting ready to retire.
Okay.
And then the market went down 30%. Boy, now you've lost quite a bit.
Quite a lot. That's a lot.
Right?
Okay.
Now you've lost quite a bit. And not only that, you haven't paid taxes yet.
Yes.
And people get caught off guard with that piece, the tax piece.
Right. So what substitutes do you offer for the 401k in your wealth management portfolio?
So personally, I have to sit with you, see what everything you have. And if an annuity, for example, works better for you, that's great.
Okay.
If a policy in life insurance that you can take advantage of works for you, that's great. But that's something that is a personal one-on-one conversations that we have to look at the whole picture.
So in for somebody who's starting off who's never heard anything, and you meet, you have like a one-on-one consultation with the person, and then kind of have a whole discussion.
Oh, yes.
You walk them step by step.
Yes. What they need to do. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll give you an opportunity to kind of share your information and, you know, if you have social media or anything else, that when people, when the audience listening, they can actually reach out and see what kind of office they you have.
By all means. Thank you. I'll put my number out there. It's 267-474-7209. Again, it's 267-474-7209. And you can find me on LinkedIn. Just put my whole name in, Nanajwa Asabil. There's nobody else in the world with that name.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I've Googled myself, yes.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
And same thing on IG, too. You can find me on IG.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So definitely you have a lot of inspiration stories to uplift our audience. This is why this podcast is about, right? Mm-hmm. Mostly to uplift people of an African descent, mm-hmm. Afro-oriented this thing, because I think there is a lot of knowledge that we can share with other people. So how do you balance your life, being a mother, wife, and then wealth management guru?
Well, it's fun. And I love because it's not an easy task, mm-hmm. right? But
yeah.
if you're determined mm-hmm. and you're purposed mm-hmm. and you're clear about your vision, mm-hmm. you can make it all work.
Okay.
You might not be 100% mom every day or 100% wife every day, mm-hmm. but you need to check in with yourself, right? Okay. So for me, I love being a mom. I have two, preteens.
Very intelligent children. I had an opportunity to
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because, when children, they're born, they're like a blank computer, mm-hmm. right? You program
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And to have that, privilege mm-hmm. of programming them, mm-hmm. Of course, not just me. It's a combination of home and school and environment
right.
and society.
Yeah.
But you get a chance to just pour into them,
yeah.
right? And one of the things I love to do is personal development. And I pull them in my world. Mm-hmm. And I also listen mm-hmm. to them. Because one of the things that I felt we were really disadvantaged of, and I don't know about you, but, children are supposed to be seen, not heard.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Come on. These are
from the culture we come from, mostly, yes.
But have you listened? Like, have you had a conversation with a four-year-old? You'd be amazed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I want to listen. I want to be in that space where you're pouring into them. And you're just helping them, guide them
yes.
along this journey,
yeah.
right? Because they have their own lives to live
yeah.
at some point.
Yes.
So it's busy, but I love doing it. I love juggling all the pieces, helping people out. Because at the end of the day, you help enough people to get to their goals, you get to yours too.
Right. So I think there's a huge difference from how we grew up.
Oh, yeah. Our kids, they have opinions.
Yeah.
They're not afraid to speak their mind.
And there is Google.
And there's Google. Or Siri.
Yeah.
Or Alexa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So.
Because when I was growing up, when we grew up, I know whatever our parents say was the truth.
And final.
Even if it was not
in your eyes,
you know for sure that this is a lie or something. That
but you couldn't even say it was a lie.
Exactly, you couldn't say that. Yeah.
You just said it in your head.
Yeah. Now, like my children, they'll tell me, "Oh, I googled this. It's been Google. Don't challenge me." So,
I love it.
I have to be on my A game.
Listen, and one of the things that I learned early in my nursing career too was to say, I don't have the answer.
Yes.
And I'm not afraid to say that to my children.
Uh-huh.
If they ask some crazy question, or I mean some really good question, I'll say, I don't have all the answers.
Uh-huh.
So let's find out.
Right.
Let's go research uh-huh. together.
Yes.
Because the last thing I want them to know or to think is I know everything.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of things, but not everything. I'm still learning every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
And that's a space that I open myself to learn.
Yeah.
Learn something new today.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's
something. I think that approach too will probably give them a questioning attitude.
Yes.
And then also just like you say, for research, that kind of help them out to know like,
yes.
okay, I have to research stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Stay curious.
Stay curious. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now, for your wealth management, mm-hmm. your geographical footprint,
yeah.
does it incorporate Africa and the U.S., or right now you're more focused on the Africa? I know we do have, mm-hmm. Afro communities in the U.S. as well.
Yeah.
So, but how does the geographical footprint look like for the world?
Right now, good question. We're here. We're focused on the United States.
Okay.
Right. We're focused in North America, U.S. and Canada, and with the vision that we're going to take this back home.
Okay.
You know, back to our country and our continent, and. Pardon me. The idea is to help as many people here get financially literate,
uh-huh.
because if you can imagine in North America
yeah.
with incredible people,
right.
just like you and me,
mm-hmm.
but who understand the power of the system,
right.
who understand the power of money,
mm-hmm.
the power of lobbying,
yeah.
and we can transition that back home. Unfortunately, I mean, there's a lot going on back home. It's scary sometimes that we have all these resources, and yet we have to keep coming west.
That's very interesting because there's a lot of dynamics going on in Africa right now in terms of uprising in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't call that an uprising, but the younger generation have stepped up
yeah.
and have requested good governance,
yeah.
Eradication of corruption.
Correct.
So, what advice do you have for the younger generation?
Well, I want to consider myself young, but you never know.
Right.
So for people who are waking up and realizing there's more, we have absolutely more to our world than we have been giving and demanding for it. Good for them.
Yes.
Good for them that they're waking up and realizing there's way more resources
mm-hmm.
and there's accountability that need to be held, you know, and to a few minutes ago when you're saying, when you're told by an adult, by your parent, that this is what it is,
yeah.
and you can't question it, and you can't challenge it, people are not accepting that anymore.
Yes.
The younger generation will not accept that anymore because they are reasoning, they are seeing, they are understanding. And it's important that we go back, we look at our history, we understand the people that we are, where we came from, and, you know,
yes.
where we're going, because we need vision. We need vision for the future.
Yes. Yeah, and we've actually seen that across Africa, even in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
It's ongoing. It's an ongoing situation over there. One question I'd always wanted to ask you is, for somebody to go into wealth management,
mm-hmm.
right? And I know there are a lot of young people that might be thinking about that. What special tools do you need?
Well, you need some education.
Okay.
Right. So you need to understand the industry. If you're coming,
is that a bachelor's level education?
No. I mean, here's the amazing world we live in now, especially since COVID.
Yes.
You don't need all that traditional education to make it.
Right.
Right. One, find a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody who is doing what you want to do.
Right.
If they're close,
mm-hmm.
approach them.
Yeah.
Ask to be coached,
mm-hmm.
ask to be taken under your wing, their wings,
right.
and thought. But if not, there's so many people on social media you can look up and follow and see what they do. Even some people give you insights into their day to day.
Yes.
Right. So
yeah.
find somebody who's doing what you think you want to do or you want to be,
mm-hmm.
and go after it. Right. So it can come from traditional education or not. There are people in this industry who are CPAs and, you know, accountants with big positions. And some of these concepts, they were not that familiar with until they were introduced to. Because when they went to school for traditional classroom work, did not have anything to do with this space. So if somebody wants to get into it, it's a great place to be. I think Google will tell you that the insurance industry creates more millionaires.
I can imagine.
Right? For different reasons. Right? Imagine. But by all means, go for it. If you want to help people, because I want to be very careful too.
Yeah.
Because people have, you know, taken advantage of the system.
Right.
People are always looking for loopholes. That's never going to change. Mm-hmm. But if you really care about people and their future, then go for it.
Right. And it's interesting because following you on social media and stuff like that, I've seen some of the people that actually do what you do right now with doctors, like you said, engineers, come from diverse backgrounds.
Yes.
And they transition into that. And it's amazing to hear how much money also they are making. It's a lucrative
It's good. It's good business. It's definitely good business.
Sign me up for the next class.
You are very welcome, sir. You're very welcome any day.
Okay.
But it's a great space to be. I think we've come to the realization that we're working all these jobs. Think about it. As a parent, you tell your child, like, are you telling your child, go to school, get good grades, get a degree, go pursue a good job.
Right.
Versus go pursue your purpose and your passion.
Right.
Money always determine what, you know, at least from what, you know, my background, parents say, go be a doctor, right? Yeah. Because doctors make good money.
Right.
Not necessarily because you love being a doctor, right? Yeah. So I think that's some of the distinctions that you need to put in for yourself and for other people that you're helping to say, I really want to help you understand your money. I really want to help you set up a proper foundation. I really want to help you set up a proper retirement. Mm-hmm. I really want to help you. Because here's the thing. I've seen people work so hard and say, okay, I'm going home to retire.
Okay.
They get home, they get sick, something little, and they're gone.
Yes.
So what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely very inspirational what you do. So do you have any plans to actually maybe are there such opportunities right now in Africa that you are aware of?
Well, not necessarily, but I know there I have a mentor who has been traveling to the continent and trying to set up this similar opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's something that is in process. And currently, I don't know exactly what I do here that is available back home, but I know we're working really hard to take this opportunity to our people back home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think there was also one that there was a group that I joined, an alumni group. I think there was some discussion on some sort of insurance scheme, but I don't know the differences between that, you know.
Maybe it's
maybe.
Well, you want to be careful because, of course, you know, schemes, some of these people can be illegal. So you want to be careful who you're joining.
Right.
You want to know about the company, the background, their history, how solid they are in the marketplace. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You have any religious affiliation?
I do. I grew up in the Christian church. I grew up in the evangelical presby.
Okay.
And I grew up going to church Monday.
Were you in the school choir?
I was. I was. And I think, you know, I can sing, but not like sing. But I can sing enough to get me a robe.
Okay.
But I grew up in the Christian church, and faith is very important part of my life. And it's interesting how I viewed God and religion when I was in Ghana.
Right.
Is very different from what I view God now.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Wait, even now when I look at, you know, some of the social media, you know, preaching and all the things that go on, I'm like, this can't be real.
Right.
Right? This can't be the church. But it is. And there's this fear component that at least was very present in my life.
Right.
How I view God and, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I never even thought I was going to be old enough to have children before Jesus came back, right? Because it was like everything you did, you were so scared.
Yeah.
And just, so in that way.
It was a religion of.
Religion of fear.
Like the preachers were more like. You know, if you don't, like,
yes.
Scary.
Fear, I think they made you timid.
Okay.
With religion. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people are having a different mindset now.
Yeah.
But to think that, you know, God is a loving God and he created this whole universe and created me. And yet, every time I go a little way off, I'm going to get hit with a brain of stone and fire. Like, think about it. You as a parent, you correct your children when they go wrong.
Yeah. On that topic, religion topic, I need to set up probably a couple of guests to come over there, you know, like religious people.
Yeah.
We can dive into that.
That would be mostly great.
That would be great. I think that would be a nice episode to have here.
That would be great. Yeah.
So what's next for you?
What is next?
You've accomplished a lot, and we just scratched the surface of things. But what's next for you?
Well, thank you. That's a big question, and truly, I'm still a work in progress. And what is next is to impact as many families as I can. And this year alone, we've set our sights really high to just make sure every single household, at least the next 1,000 people, are set up properly in terms of financial foundation, in terms of their insurance, in terms of retirement, in terms of their children. Because if we're not, I don't care how hard you scream, I don't care how many matches you go on, if you don't have money to push policies through the government, nothing is getting done.
Right.
So my sights are set on just bringing this information to every household I can reach.
Okay.
And not only that, empower them to empower the next person too.
The next person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's where we're going with this.
So you are pretty much doing more than just setting people up, signing up for insurances and policies, but also giving the education that they can also propagate that to others.
Yes.
How has the response been in among Africans and people of color?
Our Africans have been mixed.
Okay.
I'll say it's been mixed because there are people who don't want to hear anything about insurance,
yes.
Right? Because as soon as you say that, it's like you're digging your grave.
Yeah.
So there are people who do not want to hear anything about that. And there are people who have heard something, go back, and then reach back out because life happened.
Yes.
Either to somebody they know or to themselves.
Is it too late then when you reach out when a life-changing event has happened?
So,
are there any remedies that you can
offer? Well, unfortunately, not a whole lot after it's happened.
Okay.
Right? For example, if somebody has cancer and they have to be clear after X amount of years before any company will probably, you know, insure them.
Okay.
So, at that point, it's too late.
Okay.
Right? Too late. But you can definitely get like final expense to cover, you know,
yeah.
you know, if you pass away and things like that.
Or you still can get like a life insurance policy when you know that person has cancer.
No. I'm not saying like not the kind of package that you want.
Okay.
With living benefits.
Okay.
If you, like I said, while you're young or even older, mm-hmm. but healthy, that's the best time to look for a policy
okay.
that will meet your needs.
All right. So do they do
some sort of screening when you want to sign up for insurance?
It depends. Okay. It all depends. How old you are, how healthy you are, because you could be young and still have some kind of chronic disease.
Right.
Or you could be older and not have anything. So
insured if you have some sort of chronic disease?
It just depends. There's plenty of carriers that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them will not touch you at all if you had anything questionable. Mm-hmm. But some can give you some coverage. It might be at a higher premium.
Yeah.
But it, like I said, it has to be a one-on-one basis
mm-hmm.
to determine who will give you what and for what.
Right. So that's been the irony about insurance, you know, because you would think that people who are actually sick need more insurance than anybody else.
When you're sick, and most people, when they're sick, is when they say, oh, yeah, I should have. At that point, it's late.
Right.
At that point, it's late. So you want to have it. There's a quote, and I don't know who it's by, but it said, it's cheaper to have insurance 10 years early than one day too late.
Right.
I've had people call me
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, I just got diagnosed with this.
Right.
Can I? I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, now I know you have something going on that is serious. Mm-hmm. Of course. So now you realize, okay, if I had this policy, I could actually benefit.
Okay.
But now you're calling me a day too late.
Too late.
Okay. Yeah. And some people actually going through the process
mm-hmm.
have found out some hidden things.
Okay.
I've had people who got declined coverage, but in the process they realized, okay, my kidneys are not as good as
mm-hmm.
I thought.
Okay.
So then they're seeking treatment. So for me, that's still a win.
Okay. So explain to me, once you're writing up the policy, do you ask people to go for these checkups, or is just a database that they, you know, that they do their research, have access to the medical information, and say, okay, you already have this existing thing, or it's just like a brand new physical or whatever you want to call it, right? That you ask people to do.
There is a database where our medical information is saved.
Okay.
So there is a database that they can write. A lot of these companies today have intelligent underwriting.
Okay.
And it's a computer process. So they put it in and they're looking for some things. So if nothing comes back, great. They might issue your policy.
Mm-hmm.
Same token, if nothing comes back and they look at your age
mm-hmm.
and they're like, okay, let's go actually have you checked out by a doctor or a nurse. So they might send somebody out to, you know, to get a urine, get some basic vitals and medical questionnaire filled out.
So in this database, you have doctors and health people putting information? Is it the same access to the database?
So that database that they use have, say, even prescriptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the doctor and they prescribe you with a blood pressure medication and you never even took it.
Yes.
Or you filled it one time, what it still shows. Right. So they can come back and say, you might say, okay, you don't have anything at all, but we see you got a prescription for blank.
Okay. So how do you justify? I mean, like, how can somebody fight against that? Because they'll be denied insurance based on maybe what information the doctor put,
which is not realistic. Yeah. If it's not true,
yeah.
if let's say they found something in your medical report
mm-hmm.
and which I've had clients, you know, say, I don't have that.
Right.
It depends. We can ask your provider to, you know, clear the records.
Yes.
And then we can provide that information to the insurance company.
Okay.
So there's plenty of ways to work around it. It's not like it's one time and done. Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Great information. So when I look at you and I look at all the things you've done,
I have the word comes success, right?
Mm.
Success always comes into mind.
How do you define success?
Whew, that's a tough one. Success, how do I define it? Is based on your goals, your mission, your vision. So for me, when I look at somebody, it's not where they live or their car or, you know, that's not, or their profession. It's not what success is. It's what you set out to do. Right. So if you set out, and really at this point, I think more and more finding purpose and meaning in life is serving others.
Right.
So if you, there's nothing wrong with wanting for, of course, we all want, we all need to have a good life. But outside of that, what do you do for other people?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done for somebody? It could be big or it could be small. Right. So is it even just holding the door at a Wawa for somebody else to walk through?
Right.
Or is it calling somebody and checking on them?
Okay. So do you have a philosophy? And what is it?
I have plenty of philosophies. I do.
Yeah.
One that I like really well. there's a few, but I really believe in what we see. I think there's a saying about the worst thing about having sight is not having a vision, right? So for me, my vision is to empower people. It's to empower people to live their best life.
Yes.
Right? So in that, what am I doing? How do I make myself available to help?
Right.
So if that answers your question, there's power in the tongue. I really believe that what we say, really is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you can speak life or you can speak death.
Yes.
Right. So what are you speaking? I mean, you can think so many things, but you have to be careful what comes out.
What comes out. Yeah.
Because
yes.
Once you put it out there, the universe is listening.
Yes.
Even just, I was talking about how I got into wealth management. Mm-hmm. I was asking questions. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And somehow I got an answer.
Yeah.
So.
Very interesting. That's a very interesting philosophy that I think is very enriching. Yeah, the power of the tongue. The tongue is very powerful. So I had the opportunity to meet your whole family, including your husband.
Mm-hmm.
I know your husband, he is very interesting guy. And one thing I know that he cooks better than you. He loves to cook.
It depends on who you ask, right? I mean, I have my skills and he has his skills.
Yeah.
But right now, I enjoy his food. So, hey, let him do the cooking.
And I think he has a passion for that.
He does. We actually had a restaurant in Ambler, PA.
Yes.
And he definitely loves cooking. As a matter of fact, we still have that in the future, to set up
to reopen,
but reopen in the form of a soup kitchen where we're doing charity with it.
Okay.
So that's one of our goals is to use that passion.
Yes.
To serve other people.
Yes. I would like to cover that on our next chat. On the podcast wants to do that because I'm very interested in all the services that people do for other people who are especially underprivileged and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's definitely on a to-do list.
Yes.
Short to-do list is to give back to the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which is your favorite taste? African cuisine versus American cuisine?
it depends, right? You cook African food, it's like all day.
No, not the cooking aspect, just the eating. And
oh, the eating?
Yeah.
Give me my African food, please. African food.
What's your favorite African food?
I like peanut butter.
Peanut butter?
Soup.
Okay.
Stew, however you cook it.
With fufu.
With fufu is fufu. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't get me started. You're giving me images now. You know, you're making me hungry. Yeah. But but here's the other thing too.
Yeah.
We're in this big, big world where there's like all these cultures are merging and melting pot. So every time I get a chance to taste another food, another, you know, culture, I by all means, I enjoy it. Yeah. I agree and I enjoy it.
That's true. I embrace other culture and food as well. And, you know, especially in the summer, I like it because I'm able to go to different and diverse cultural events where I have the opportunity to taste different cultural foods, diets.
That's
and stuff
amazing.
Like that.
You take your kids along.
They'll
give you a good guide.
Yeah.
They're usually a good guide on food. Yeah.
So we all do have disagreements with family, friends, and stuff like that. How do you typically handle that?
Oof. When you say disagreement, it can be very, I've learned over the years. I'm at this place now where you listen more than you talk.
Right.
So if somebody's disagreeing with you, it depends what the issue is, right? So if they're disagreeing with you, one, are you listening to understand their point of view or are you listening for a comeback?
Yeah.
Are you listening to judge? Or are you listening to see, okay, what can I do different? Or what could I have done different?
Okay.
So disagreement is just a point of view. It could be a serious issue or it could be light, right? But it depends on how you approach it. So for me, it's always how you approach it. For example, if you disagree with your spouse, that's a really good one with, say, children, right?
Yeah.
On something.
Yeah.
Why? Sometimes you have to even go back and look at your own race, how you were raised, to see, okay, where do I get these from? Were they given to me? Does it make sense now? Because we're in a different generation, a different time.
Yeah.
So does it make sense now? If yes, then by all means, right? But if not, and you can make a change or adjust, and you know, kids are really good about playing both parents, right? So they go ask daddy a question.
Yes.
And if they get a no, they come and ask you. Yeah. And it would take me a couple of, you know, at least it took me a couple of times to catch on.
Yes.
So I'm smart enough now to say, what did your father, did you ask your father? What did he say? Whatever he said is the answer.
Exactly.
Right. And even if I don't agree with the answer, in that moment, that's the answer. Yeah. And then we can talk about it later.
Yeah.
So disagreement, it's for me right now, I've worked a lot on listening and trying to understand people and where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And that makes conversations a whole lot different to have and a better one to have. You can walk away knowing, okay, we disagree because of A and B. But we can also agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And keep a healthy relationship.
Yeah. And I'm also that's great. So I was thinking in future you give us an open door policy because I would like to bring you back here, okay, where you can dive more deeper into the wealth management. I think that is a tool that a lot of as from Africa, original from Africa, and also live in a diaspora, we need to embrace that and be educated on that at a very early age. Okay. So I would like to bring you back on that. But one question I have for you, how would you want people to remember you, your legacy?
Oh, I still think we're building the legacy. And as time goes on, I've always, even before I got into wealth management, before I even came into this financial space, I've always wanted to have generations I mean, 20 years, 20 generations from now, who would never meet my living body to say, you know, I had a great, great, great grandma, Nanadra, who lived.
Yes.
And because she lived and because she did X, Y, and Z, today we're better off.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I really want my legacy to be. I want them to have my picture on a mantle, a cute picture, and say, this is my ancestor. And because of her, our life is different. Because I really, it saddens me to see how hard we work in this nation.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people I know, at least from, you know, Ghana, when the health space, who work tirelessly, who sacrifice weekends and holidays working.
Yes.
And to get to the end, so to speak, and not be able to enjoy any of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because nobody told them, nobody showed them, nobody sat down to take the pain, to say, what are your goals?
Yeah.
And how can you get there?
Yes.
So that's what I think my legacy, who knows, 10 years from now, it will be building itself.
Yes.
It will be building itself, yeah.
Absolutely. So one final question for you. This my mic is kind of going on. All right, I'll try to just speak this out loud. Yours will pick it up.
Okay.
But a final question I have for you is, do you have any final uplifting message that you would like to share with people listening to this podcast?
Absolutely. Since this is an uplift message, here's what I want to just encourage people. I don't know how old you are. I don't know what your experiences have been. But one thing I know is when you have the will and the determination to pursue a goal, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how beat up you are. I don't care what your past experiences have been. If you set your mind on a goal, you will find a way. The universe will bring it. So regardless whether you're in a career or family space or, you know, being divorced or, you know, a single parent, if you set up and set your intention to do something, go for it. Pursue it. We got this one life to live before the next one.
Yeah.
And so max it.
Yes.
One of my mentors that I love a lot always says, max out your life.
Right.
So make sure when you get to the end, you don't have any regrets. Right. If you have a calling and you think, okay, I would love to pursue, you know, music, go ahead. I would love to pursue charity. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to maybe quit your whole job to go do it,
right,
but find some time and go pursue it.
Yeah.
Find the books. Go read it. Go take a course. Mm-hmm. To get a hold of me, my number is 267-474-7209. Search me on LinkedIn, Nanadra Asabil, and Instagram, Nanadra Asabil.
Thank you so much, Nanadra Asabil. It's been a pleasure having you here. And actually, I just feel like we just scratched the surface of what you have to offer. And like I said, you know, a couple of times already in this podcast, I would like to have you again as a guest in the near future. We do appreciate the various stories that you have given us to uplift lives, our lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. And I hope I brought value to at least one person listening. And I'll be very thrilled to come back and we can pursue some more deep conversations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Uplift Chronicles. I hope you found inspiration in today's stories and the spirit of upliftment. Remember, every life has the power to inspire change, and every story is a thread in the rich tapestry of our shared heritage. If you enjoyed this episode, kindly subscribe and leave a review. and share it with someone who could use a little upliftment in their life. Follow us on social media for more updates and join the conversation. Until next time, keep uplifting and stay inspired. Signing off, this is Kofi Dake.